Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Welcome, mothers and daughters from around the world. I am your host, Dr. Bessie. I am so excited to be here today. It's been so many things that God has been doing through the ministry and exciting things. Things that will make you tired, but then it's got that little tingly sensations of joy and happiness and an opportunity to serve others and see God's hand move through you to help somebody else. And I'll go into that in a little bit more detail. It's more about the projects and things that God had us to do in the ministry. We did a mother and daughter, we did a crowning on the 19th of August and in Florida. And then we did the Mother and Daughter Bible College graduation on the 26th. And working the television show and the radio show and counseling and going to the prison, it was a major 16 days for me. Didn't seem like 16 days, but it was 16 days. And it was interesting because of COVID, you know, we've been sort of isolated in many ways, especially me, because, you know, I work from home and my travel was my extended office from Florida to North Carolina or wherever it is that I'm going and throughout the U.S. And abroad. And all of a sudden, like most people, it was all cut off. And it took me a while to get back into it. But the most amazing thing, I shared a resort space with two other ladies. And we had the best fun as we work hard, diligently, staying up late at night. But I tell you, it was nothing like coming home, getting into my bed. So today is the first day that I am sitting here going, oh, wow, we get back to our Saturday morning and Saturday productions because we have shows on Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoons each week. And so we had to do what we had to do to make sure that you got a message. So let me go here this morning, bring in my co-host. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good day. I'm feeling a whole lot better. Praise the Lord. Feeling a whole lot better than I was Thursday night when we spoke. So all is well.
Oh, wow, yeah. You know, I was praying for you that you'd feel better. So, but it's so much going on among a lot of our friends and family and our advisory board members. It just seemed like I don't want to even give any credit, but it's just, you know, interesting challenges. But, you know, we always come through. We always come through. And so this morning, I want us to pray for Cynthia. Cynthia's going through a challenge now, and she just got back from the hospital this morning around 5:30. So as I was talking to getting her, keeping her comfortable till her husband got there, she's being challenged as well. So if you'll give us the prayer this morning, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to come together to lift up you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. We ask that you would touch Cynthia from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, and that whatever is going on in her body, that you would release her from that illness, that you would deliver her and give her a speedy recovery where she may bounce back and do what thus said the Lord. We thank you for touching me, Lord, and giving me the energy to get up and giving my head or a breather so I could breathe and be able to talk this morning. We thank you for all that you do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, when I got that phone call up in the middle of the night, a morning, I said, okay, Lord, what's going to happen now? You know, because I know Cynthia doesn't call me that time of morning. It has to be something. But praise God, she's home and all is well. Right? You know, she's going to be just fine. That's what we're going to believe, and that's what we shall receive. So, how was your week? I know you said you had some difficulties, but how was your week otherwise?
Otherwise, well, I've been home all week and working from the house. I know how that feels. And I said, wow, I don't know if working from the house or working in the office is better, because it seemed like it just didn't stop. And I was pressing through and I had some appointments to do. And one appointment is I do an intro when the people come in the program. I explain the program. And it usually take like 30 minutes because it's not a typical interview for me. Like you ask some questions, give information, and they say, oh, that's, you know, thank you for coming. No, I let God use me, and however that looks, you know, if I gotta let you know that I understand where you at, where you been, I let you know, and I just share that, and I tell you, it's always so rewarding because at that time I really got the ear. Now once they move in, it's a different story. I'm super busy, and you might get 5 minutes here, you know, and I might don't catch you because you're doing your thing. But I got so I always like to allow God to use me because I got the ear,
right.
And it's the first person that I'm the first person they're gonna speak to, in that list before the process starts. So I had that, and I didn't want to counsel, but I let the guy know. I said, I'm a little stuffy. But I'm going to press my way. I didn't want you to have to sit it out. And it was very pleasant opportunity, I must say. So, mm-hmm. You know, even when, you know, I find out when we down and out, God is still working and using us. He said, hey, mm-hmm. You're going through. That means if you're going through, you're coming out. So just go through and you know, don't mummy and complain. And so I just said, Lord, okay, I'm home. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to work. And, you know, I was getting up, going to the computer, doing what I was sitting there all day. But praise the Lord, it was, even though I was ill, and it still was a productive week, chance for me to just, you know, just get some rest. So that's how my week was. And your week?
Oh, that was awesome. I'll tell you about my week, but I just want to comment on yours. That was awesome because what we don't realize, we hear that people are home, working from home, and you don't know what that is until you get there. And it can spoil you in some ways. But I have been working for myself for so long, 30-some years now, I don't know, 37 or whatever. And so I've been in control of my time. So when COVID came, people, you know, it's like, oh, wow, I'm at home. And they couldn't adjust to being home. Not that I work from home. I have my own office and staff, but I had my time. I had control of my time. I could pretty much, you know, set my schedule like I want and do what I wanted to do. But I tell you, being home, working from home full time, that was an adjustment for me because I'm used to going and flying here and driving my RV there. And, you know, it was something else. And then this past week for me, was a week of trying to restore my body from being out and on for those 16 days and being in the, you know, cooking and eating and talking and working with someone closely for those days. I haven't done that in years with, you know, with COVID coming into place a couple years. And so it really took me to adjust back to coming back and working from home and being back in my single environment. So it's going to allow me now to go out a little more, and I got appointments now that it's going to cost me to actually get out and sort of get, work my way back into it. But there's so much that I do as a Christian clinical psychologist I can do from home and via now the internet, counseling and whole nine yards. So it just, you just reinvent yourself. And so it just made it a lot different. It's good on the overhead because I don't really have to have an office. I mean, it's getting to the point now where we're going to have to do it again, but it was nice on the pocketbook, I can tell you that. So I thank God for it. We got the work done. Graduation was awesome. Thank you. You were wonderful with the bridge ceremony and Pauline as the mistress ceremony. Everybody, it was an amazing graduation. And audience, when we're talking about college graduation, we're talking about the Mother and Daughter Bible College. And we're talking about the women that has graduated through the Mother and Daughter Bible College, and they just are within a year or so. And one week prior to graduation, just was released from the prison system, work release system. So that whole Bible College was designed for women that's in the work release system to help them get back out into the workplace. It was the most amazing thing. And at Fort Pierce, we had the crowning of the matriarchs there on the 19th, and it went to a different level. So God is doing some amazing things. And we booked to do the matriarch crowning at several churches and with organizations. And it's just been, it's just an amazing 2 or 3 weeks there. I can't take nothing off of it except for thank you, God. We got to show some people the love of Christ as we went in and served and asked for nothing but give the love of God. So it has been amazing. So that was my week last week, restoration. Now this week, we're going into phase three of the Matriarch Now community. And the Matriarch Now community, mothers and daughters out there, go to matriarchnow.com, matriarchnow.com. Go join, become a part, because some amazing things are getting ready to happen within the next 2 to 3 weeks. God has opened us up. Deborah said, okay, now you can go into phase three. So phase three is going to be the part where we can start actually building out the physical Matriarch Now, the community. So mothers and daughters out there, go matriarchnow.com, register. You want to be a member because the benefits to this particular community are there for the members. Everybody can go in and look at the TV station, the magazine, and enjoy everything that we have. But the benefits of being a member are going to be extremely important as far as what we can do to help the people that's a part of our community. All right, Cynthia. Cynthia must be talking about us.
Yeah.
I know she's thinking I tell you. All right, so we'll just say, Cynthia, you're well and you're healed, and her week last week was the same, teaching classes and getting registered, and last night kicked off the 23-24 classes for the Mother-Daughter Bible College. We came out a week or so, and now we're back in the class for this year. It's amazing. It seems like it goes by real, real fast. All right, Deborah, we are here today, and the question is, what causes the lack of communication in a mother and daughter relationship? Mothers and daughters out there, I know some of you are dealing with that issue. So I'm going to go ahead and let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say through me, and then I'm going to come back and get your opinion, Deborah, okay? All right, mothers and daughters out there, the question today is, what causes the lack of communication in a mother and daughter relationship? And I, as many of you know that have been listening to us for over the years, we've been doing this for 14 years now. It's not like we just got started yesterday. And, you know, it's the Holy Spirit always come up with whatever topic matter that he wants us to discuss. And one was, this morning was, the only one this morning was, what's the cause? And I think a lot of times, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, we think that we're doing our own design in life. We think that we're doing the things that we want to do. But in essence, you're really not. You're really falling into a pattern that is some type of lesson for you to learn something that's going to propel you up and closer to God. But yet, sometimes you will say to yourself, I'm so far behind. I can't catch up. You know, why are they doing this? And it seems like their life is much better than mine. And they have money. And I can't seem to get ahead. And, you know, always got your eyes on someone else. And you don't have your eyes on God. Because you don't know what God is doing in their life. And, you know, I remember one time I was like, seem like, Lord, the ones that are doing the worst are the ones that's prospering to me. He said, well, you don't know how they got their money. You don't know what they're doing. Why are you worrying about what they're doing? Just focus on what I asked you to do. And when I got that years ago, I don't even worry about what other people are doing. I don't even worry about money. And then God can work with you because I see the hands of God, the movement of God, and he will deliver money into my hands every time when I need it. It's never been a time that I have come up to a situation and God didn't take care of it. Think about it. And you could say the same thing. And all that worrying and crying and praying, I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And somehow or another, look back now and you say, wow, it did get paid. Even if you had to borrow it from somebody, it got paid. But you don't look at it as if God did that for you. You think you did it. You think you went to your friend, can you lend me $200 for a couple of months? And the person said, yeah, I could do it. You thinking, well, God didn't do that. I did that. I had to ask them. But God touched the person's heart for the person to say yes. He could have hardened their heart. And they said no. Because you have asked people for stuff and they've said no. And you thinking, I know they got it. Why would they say no? God didn't want them to give it to you. He didn't want to provide for you through that person. Because you would have gave that person all the credit. You would have gave them all the credit. Think about it. How do I get over here when the topic is what causes the lack of communication in the mother and daughter relationship? It's a combination of things. A combination of things. And I use that as an example to show you how you think all about you. How you think that you're the one that's in control. You're the one that's running your life. But you're not. You're not. God didn't design you for you to run your life. What he did, he created something called a will. He created a will and allow you to create a sub-will. Keep in mind, you don't have control over the will. You have control over the sub-will, meaning that you can make choices and you can gain certain experiences. But no matter what choices you make, you're going to end up back in the will of God. And you might say, what does that mean? It might sound confusing. Think about it. It's like a mother and a child. Mother, you are the one in authority. But you have a three-year-old little girl. And she says, Mommy, I don't like the clothes you pick out for me because I want to wear something totally different. And you say, okay, then go ahead. Let me see what you will do. See, you sub-will your will to her. And she's thinking she's in control because she's thinking, I got my way. And so you say, go right ahead and let me see what you will do. And she goes in and she picks out a costume, puts the costume on, and she's going to church. Now, you don't want her to wear the costume to church, but you're watching to see what her will is. And her will is, I want to be a fairy. And I put on my fairy godmother's little dress and the little hat and the wand and the little shoes. And this is what I want to do. Now, you can do one or two things, Mother. You can say, okay, we can go to church like this. This is fine. I'm going to let you express yourself. Or you can say, no. We're going to church, and you can't wear that to church. You can put it on when you come back home. I'll take you out to eat. You can wear it, but you cannot wear it to church. So you exert your will over the three-year-old. Or you can say, okay, you can wear that to church. That'll be fine if that's what you want to do. Because there are some mothers saying, you know, I want my child to have self-expression. I want them to be free to choose. And so she goes to church, and some little kid picks at her and says, ah, ha, 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 look at you. You don't wear that to church. You look stupid. Feelings get hurt, and she come crying to you. Mommy, they said I look stupid. Now she's gotten the experience from choosing and having her will. And she realized, maybe I shouldn't have worn this to church. But you couldn't save her from that experience. Or you could have said something like, well, I could have told you, but I know you wasn't going to listen. When I try to tell you something, you don't want to listen. So you got what you got. That's what you get. You know that's not how you dress to go to church. Now what you're doing, you're building up some barriers because now she's going to say, you know, she doesn't, in her mind, my mother doesn't love me. She's going to get something. If you say it the wrong way, her interpretation can mark the communication between the two of you. See, it starts at an early age. And then she decides, I'm not going to tell her anything. Because if I tell her, she's going to make me feel bad. Or she's going to talk about it to her friends. Or she's going to laugh about it. So I won't tell her anything. You see how a little simple thing can start the journey of lack of communication between a mother and her daughter. And as they grow up, they tell you less and less and less. And you notice that she's telling her grandmother, having conversations with her grandmother. She's having conversations with her aunt. And what really tears a mother up is when there's a separation between the mother and the father. and her daughter has a better relationship with her stepmother than she does with her. And that brings in that fury between the father and the mother, because the mother is jealous because the daughter has a better relationship with the stepmother. You must ask yourself, why? What happened? Where did the break in communication started? See, you've got to go back. Now, this is key. As a Christian clinical psychologist, I have mothers and daughters that are not speaking. The daughter is in her 60s, the mother's in their 80s, and they don't really communicate. And you would think at that age, both of them come into the fourth quarter of their life, that they would want to enjoy every day, every moment, every second of possibility of communicating from a loving place. But so many of them take care of their parents out of shame, out of blame. Don't want nobody to talk about them. So they pretend to do what in their heart they do not want to do. Because over the years, they've carried a secret in their heart. They never really told their mother that they really don't like them. That's right, I said it. There are a lot of women out here, a lot of daughters, no matter what age, in their heart, they do not love their mother. At least that's what they think from the physical. Because there's one thing I tell mothers and daughters, you cannot break the bond that God created between a mother and a child. That's why he says, I will never leave you, because you are always connected to God. He's your mother, father. He can't separate from you. Because you are the branch that's connected to the vine. There is no separation. I call it invisible umbilical cord. You have it from the Father. You have it from the Father, Mother, God. You have it from the mother to her children. And there's always a love connection there. But when you break that communication, the bond is there. But when you break that communication, it's never addressed. It's intro conversations, those ongoing conversations in your head that overpower the love in your heart. The love in your heart for a mother and child can never be erased. It's impossible. Your child can be on the other side of the world and not have spoken to you for months, even years. But every day you think of that child. Every day that child thinks of their mother. It's a connection. You can try to override it. You can try to act like it doesn't exist. But you know in your heart, you're thinking about your mother. And see, the prime example is that there's a movie called, it went right out of my head. Oh, Invitation of Life. Invitation of Life. Now, most of y'all never heard of it. It's an older movie. Where the young lady decided she didn't want anybody to know that her mother was a maid, and her mother was darker skinned, and she was the product of an interracial relationship. So she chose to appear as a Caucasian. And And she lived her life that way. And her mother looked at her from afar and loved her from afar and looked at her grandchildren from afar because she was a maid. She didn't want anybody to know that was her mother. But then one day, her mother passed, made her transition. And when she heard that her mother passed, see, you know, that's what we do. Wait till someone's gone, and all of a sudden, you can forgive the person. All of a sudden, you can find love in your heart. Here she comes, running through a crowd of dark skin or darker skin Afro-Americans, which made her just stood out even more as she ran behind that carriage, crying and asking them to stop, stop. You are carrying my mother. That's my mother. And everybody looking at her like, who in the world is this and where did this white female came from? But it's too late. It's too late. Once your mother or daughter closed their eyes and you have not settled any grievance, any hidden secrets, then go sit down and shut your mouth. I mean, really, you've waited too long. You can scream and holler. You can fall out at the funeral. It's not going to change anything. They're gone. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They have transcended, and you're talking to a shell of a body. But you couldn't talk to a body that had a heart and a spirit and a soul that long to communicate with you. See, you thought I was going to come talking about communication, giving each other a call, writing. I'm talking about your spirit. I'm talking about your spiritual connection. How you walk around acting like you're serving God, but you mistreat your mother. How you walk around acting like you're serving God and you're mistreating your daughter. And you think it's okay. And God's watching you. You're a hypocrite. That's right. You are a hypocrite. And you might say, well, Dr. Fletcher, how dare you say this? Well, if you're saying that, then you must believe you're a hypocrite. I must be talking to you. You have got to be able to communicate with your children. If you can't communicate with your children, how are you going to communicate with God when God is your children as he is with you? So if you love one person and say you don't love another, then how can you love God? Mothers, we've got to stop it because we're raising up a whole new generation that are very confused. And that's why they don't know God. And that's why they don't trust God, because you're the God that they see and they don't like it. They don't like the God in you. They don't like how you pretend when you go to church or when you're in the midst of your friends or you're out in public and how you pretend that you all of this and get right in the car and curse your kids out like dogs. Are mean to them. I'm talking about the extreme. I'm not talking about every mother. I'm not talking about every daughter. This is a message straight from the Holy Spirit. When I come on, I release myself to the Holy Spirit. This is what he is saying. I don't know who's listening, but God is saying you need to straighten out your mother and daughter relationship, and you need to straighten it out now. Now, if it hits you, in your spirit, then you need to get to running. But you don't get a warning all the time. You need to get to that mother or daughter and straighten it out. God said, the time is of the essence. And you know who you are. And you know if that hit. Don't wait. Because I don't want you to come calling me saying, you know, Dr. Fletcher, I heard you and I wish I had a mm-mm. I'll listen to you and I'll help you through it. But you can avoid it. Because you're here, you're listening, and God is speaking. And if it hit your heart, if it touched your heart, he is talking to you. And you might say, well, have you not experienced that, Dr. Bessie? No, I have not. And the reason that I have not experienced that is because as an only child, I know sometimes I tell people that, you know, I was a yes daughter. I was raised from the old school. My mother said it, yes, ma'am. But my mother, the type of mother that if she said no, it was no. There was nothing I could do to change her mind. That's why I worked very hard to keep her from saying no. If I want to go somewhere or do something, I worked very hard to keep her from saying no. So that kind of spilled over to my daughter. My mother called me every morning at 7:30 when I got married and left that house. She gave me a key. She said, that room is always your room. This is the key that always opened this door. So don't ever think that you don't have a place to stay, that you don't have food to eat. You have food here. You have a room and a roof over your head. This is the key. Nothing changed. My mother called me every morning at 7:30. She said, because, and people would ask her, why do you do that? She said, because I cannot get up in the morning and start my day without knowing that my daughter is breathing, up and moving around. That in her head was very important. Up and moving around. And then when my daughter got married, I did the same thing. It was like an automatic thing. It's like a passing of some type of pledge or something. I don't know. I wasn't thinking about it. I just said to her, you keep the key on your ring. Your bedroom is here. So no one can ever threaten you and you think that you don't have a place to stay. This is your bedroom and you come whenever you want. You will never have to worry about food or shelter. You have a place to stay. Now, I grant you, unlike me, I didn't run back home, but my daughter, when they first got married, I'm telling you, the first 6 months, it wouldn't be nothing for her to come. Like 12 o'clock at night, I hear the door open, and she would come running upstairs and head to her room. She had to pass my bedroom, and I said, are you okay? Yes, all right. She get in her room, get in her bed, go to sleep. 10 minutes later, here come her husband. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I guess he figured, if you coming to stay, I'm coming to stay. But now, praise God, they're going on 32 years of marriage. They made it through, but the first 6 months, man, she had that in her mind. And then, and you know, sometimes we can ruin kids by giving it to them, but I'd rather have her know that than to say, once you leave here, you never come back. You know, and that's what some parents do. And then your children get out there and it doesn't work out and they become homeless because you already told them, once you leave, you can't come back. You curse them. That cuts off your communication. So we got to be very careful how we handle the relationship with our children. And the lack of communication starts from somewhere in a place of a wounded heart. You said something, you done something that wounded them, and even if they didn't say anything, they kept it. They saw how you treated their brother better than you treated them. They saw how you treated a sister, an older sibling, or a younger sibling better than you treated them. See, that's how you break the communication. So why should I tell her anything? She doesn't love me. She loves my sister. She loves my brother. 24 years of counseling, specialized in the mother and daughter relationship. The perspective or the interpretation of my mother loving my brother or my sister better than they love me, I would say out of from 0 to 10, 8 was the number that I would register it on. That was the almost every relationship. And when we got down to it, it was that siblingly jealousy that they watch you treat them different from their other siblings. And I've even had mothers come in and say, you know, Dr. Fletcher, I don't mean no harm, but, you know, so-and-so is my favorite child. Nothing really irks my nerves to have a mother come in and sit and tell me that one child is her favorite child. Like, how are you going to have a favorite child when you birth all the children? Yeah, but it just seemed like we click. I want you to know how silly that sounds. I wanted to use the other word, but it's silly. None of them belong to you. They are children that God used your body. He created the body to fulfill the earth. And he chose to send a human through you. But yet, out of disrespect to God, you're going to say, oh, God, yeah, you gave me 4 children, but I like this one the best. Hey, if I'm wrong, forgive me. But I don't understand how a mother can love one child better than she loved the other. And not only love the child in their hearts better, but show it in front of the other children. Even if you thought in your heart that you love this one better, you're going to show it? All the children know. They'll say, yeah, that's mama's favorite child right there. And I know y'all heard that. That's mama's favorite child right there. Everybody know that's mama's favorite. And she, you know, like it's cute. No, it's not. It's unmotherly. And that one that seems to think that you dislike or hate her is the one that will be taking care of you when you get in the bed and you can't take care of yourself. And all the one that's your favorite one won't be nowhere to be found. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Won't be anywhere to be found. So I'm going to go in here and talk to Cynthia, because Cynthia, Cynthia's not even here. Deborah?
She's here in spirit.
Oh, man.
I tell you, good stuff. And I was writing, listening, and then I said, well, she hit that note, so I said, I'll just take it out, but I'm going to just roll with it. Some of the reasons that I feel mothers and daughters don't communicate is because there's a lack of like a tone and tact, too tired to listen to each other, business, trust, rejection, and feel not being understood or judged. So, and breaking it down, I believe that communication is imperative in all relationships. It is a tool that we use effectively can create a relationship of harmony and establish bonds that's not easily broken, even under the most difficult challenges of life. Yes, there's some certain circumstances that often change the dynamic of some relationships and communication between the mother and daughter. Each case is not, the same. So just for the audience listening and saying, well, you know, I tried that, I did this, I did that. There's other elements that change. So it's just a standard, or more like a general overview that, you know, kind of touch it a little bit. The Bible talks about in Titus 3:2, and it says to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle. That's my point, to be gentle. And here we go, to show perfect courteous towards all people, which means if God is saying to do it, he's saying not, we don't just be gentle and courteous towards the people in the street, down the corner, around the block, outside the household. We must first start with those that's in the household, because we're there to be teachers. As parents, as the adult, we're there to guide them and show them along the way how to develop healthy relationships. And sometimes because of busyness, because of frustration from coming from the job, working all those hours for the single mothers, put a plug in. I commend the single mothers for putting in all they put in. But what happens is when you come home, you're so frustrated, you can't deal with what you're trying to work to provide for the things and the necessities of the kids in the house. But when you come home, you don't have that mental to give to the same kids that you're working hard for to provide. And God has said it's got to be a balance. Don't just say I'm out there working so you can eat, you can have shoes on your feet and stuff on your back. God is saying you got to turn on the other part that's most important. Because if you don't get them what they need mentally, somebody's going to whisper in their ear round the corner, down the street, around the block. And so God is saying be gentle. Avoid having arguments. Say, I told you to do what I told you to do, and you ain't doing it. You fussing with the child. Say what you say, mean what you say. You just don't have to say it mean. There's other ways that we can round bite and discipline them. Hey, that phone bill won't be paid. This room, this laundry ain't done. That phone bill won't be paid. Or you will not be going to the movie this weekend. I will not be giving you money. There's other ways than to be harsh and verbally abusive and showing the frustration, because the kids do take it in and they do find it pretty offensive. And so God is saying that, hey, be gentle. So being gentle allows the kid, even vice versa, because some kids, let me just switch it, some kids are rude and disrespectful. Some kids got a mouth on them that God knows where they got it from, but some kids say anything come to their mouth. There's no filter. So it goes both ways. He says be gentle and courteous. Treat people like you want to be treated. There's a time to listen. There's a time to speak. You must reciprocate that type of energy in any relationship. You want me to hear your point of view, your concerns, your desires, your dreams, but when it's time for me to talk, you shut me down, you shut me up, you have a tone that's not so receptive. And so in order to get the communication going, you got to have a few rules. Like I say, there's a time to talk, there's a time to listen. There's a tone to use, and 10 ain't the tone, being the highest. 10 is not the tone. We could say maybe 3, that you're being just a little assertive. You just got a little something in your throat. Not bass, but just a little assertive. And you say what you mean. Mom, this is how I feel. I feel that when I go to school, whatever it is you want to talk about, or my friends, whatever we're going to talk about, because if they don't know how to have a relationship with the mother, they're not going to know how to have a relationship with the girl next door. It's going to be, well, I don't deal with women. Me and women don't get along. It comes from having that aunt in the family, having that aunt in the household. How you don't deal with women? You're a woman. So what is it at that age that you already worked up about? More likely, it's coming from the house. So the key point I want to make is, in any relationship, communication is key. You got to know how far to go, your boundaries, your input, your it always got to be what I say is right, because you grow. Because I learned a lot from kids. Kids teach me how to have an argument and then get rid of it and then go back to sucking on the same lollipop. You see them out the window all the time. They mad, they come in, she, and then you look out the window now, they're passing the bubble gum, the lollipop, and whatever, they on the kick and go, and they play with the phone, they don't forget about. They teach us how to, it's okay to agree to disagree, but get over it, let it go, don't let it grow overnight. Like God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So he's already telling us ways to continue a relationship. We're going to always have some ups and downs in any relationship. But just knowing the bigger picture is to have one of harmony, to be able to listen. Just listen to what they're saying. Kids don't be so defensive when the mom is talking, and mom don't be so bullheaded saying, I got to have all the answers. It goes both ways. You might have had more experience, but just you give the information, you allow the kid to process it, and allow the kid to draw from their own conclusion. Because the more you try to force your beliefs on them, the more the resistance it rises. Because it's like, oh, I ain't got to do it that way. Because, you know, we're a whole other generation. We 20, 30, 40 years later. And we finding new ways to do stuff. Like, we can't work the computers like the kids do. You got to call them to send an email. You got to call them to do a text. You don't even know how to download. So they've got stuff that we didn't get. And they teaching us stuff that we don't know. And so you got to be humble. Always stay teachable, whether you're the parent or not. And always assume the position that I am in this thing to be the best person and to give the best advice, but allow them to process whatever it is that I give them and to draw their own conclusion. Get them that freedom and that autonomy to be able to develop in the personality that God has called them to have. And so in other words, you can't force them to be who you want them to be. You can't make them perform in a way that you say it's got to be. You got to give them that little bit of freedom to, if they make a mistake, they'll come back and say, Mom, that didn't work too good, because you gave her the opportunity to experiment. And so just knowing that when you start communicating, the enemy is going to come, because that's what he do, go to and from, telling God, I went to and from, and I'm looking for who I may devour, who I may disturb, who I may destruct or destroy. He said, I'm looking. So stay on your guard. And anytime you feel anger or you feel anything that's coming up in you, ask God, keep prayer in your life. Keep prayer in your family. The Bible says, raise up a child and teach them in the way of life. You know, it says, I was just taking this little quote here. Yes, children are called to honor and obey their parents, Exodus 20:12. But parents must not abuse their authority. They must treat their children with dignity, respect, patience, and love. Parents are called to encourage their children. They do this by teaching each child the principles of God's word and promoting life-affirming positive creativity in the child. Stirring him to have confidence, or her to have confidence in his God-given uniqueness, and to believe that he could do, she could do, whatever she otherwise may have never achieved. Again, God give us all gifts and all talents and you to cultivate, to help them, to point them in the direction, the way of the Lord, to be who he's called them to be in their uniqueness. And so the job is get information, set the example, and step back and let them pursue it. If they go left too far, they go to the right too far, you just be a little here and say, remember what I told you, baby? Remember what I told you? Try it like this here. That ain't working. Try it like this. Draw back and watch them, because they trying to figure out, you know, if there's a shortcut. Of course, they want the microwave way or how to clean the dishes or how to do the grocery list or how to pay the bills or how to set up an account or how to take a test. They want the microwave way. You don't want to just hit it and quit it. Get it over with. But we got to allow them their process to be all that God has called them to be and take a path according to God's will for their life. And you just guide them, because if you show them the word and you show them the way, God said, hey, I'm not going to hold you responsible if they make the wrong choice. He said, because I see that you taught them in a way of the Lord. So relationships and communication is key, but you got to be able to watch your tone, watch your tact, be gentle, and be able to be a good listener and a good speaker at the time that's allotted for you to speak.
Good stuff, Deb. You know, and what I like about it, you know, as I was listening to you, it's like the Holy Spirit took me to the adult mother and daughter and then brought you back down to the youth. And that, I was like, wow, you are so great, Holy Spirit, because then that way we kind of cover a balance of each one, you know? And it's important. And that's why you are anointed to work with the youth. because of your past experience, and you got a story that fits right in the rim of their life, and they can hear it from you. And so this is going to be a blessing as we travel, and you're talking to the youth and having them to absorb. Look at her. She did it, and look where she's at. Then I know I can do it. All right, Deborah, I tell you, this has been we're doing the full scope of the show, and it's still going by fast, you know?
Right,
it's still
right.
Going by fast. But we are getting the point across that communication is key, and the lack of communication will appear as if there's no love in the mother and daughter relationship. So don't let the lack of communication, mothers and daughters, shine brighter than the love that God has placed in your heart. I'll be right back, Deborah. Hold on.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
All right, Deborah, that's our show. Bye, mothers and daughters. We'll see you next week, the same time. Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Love you.
Love you, too.